You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors. Like it's Bundang Survivors today. Your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul, and sometimes Bundang. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, Rosa. She is...
She's in the country. Got roped into family visits.
All right. She was almost going to make it, you were saying. Yeah. She thought maybe she could ditch out.
Yeah.
Wow.
No such luck.
She's get hauled out to the countryside. And these are relatives she's not seen since she was...
If ever. She texted me and said it's people she doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
Relatives she doesn't know.
All right. So she's just going to be, like, grilled and poked and prodded.
Yeah.
And, why aren't you married?
Why aren't you married? Why isn't your Korean absolutely perfect?
Wow. Good. Why are you wearing too much makeup? Things like that.
Rosa doesn't wear much makeup.
No, she doesn't. No, but yeah. Like, I guess here, actually, that would be, why aren't you wearing enough makeup?
Right. That's it. Why aren't you wearing false eyelashes?
Yeah. Don't you want a husband? A good husband?
No wonder you're not married.
Yeah. I was thinking if, in French, if you wanted to say you're giving Pond's cold cream to Rosa, you would say... je donne Pond à Rosa. Pond à Rosa. I've been trying to figure out a good Pond à Rosa pun. And that's what I came up here at Starbucks waiting for you. Pond à Rosa. Pond's cold cream. Ah. Pond à Rosa.
Oh, okay.
Pond.
Is like a...
Two.
Possessive?
Two. No,
oh, okay.
Two, yeah. Pond. I don't think in French you would pronounce the S. Ponds. Pond.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, I'm from South Louisiana and absolutely no French whatsoever.
Oh, man. So how was your week, Jennifer?
It was good. I got to work on Tuesday.
Okay.
And at 2 o'clock, I was informed that as of 2:30, my schedule was changing.
Okay. Excellent.
It was good. We got some morning classes that started this past week, and they decided to take me up on my offer of finishing early sometimes in exchange for not having overtime for those morning
classes.
So I've only got one morning day, and in exchange, I get off early on 2 days.
Okay.
And at my preference, The long day is not the day that I get off early.
Okay.
So I get to fully enjoy having 2 short days, and then one day I've got long hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should listen to you more, because you say some funny things on this podcast.
Do I?
Yeah. And because a lot of times when you're talking, then I'm kind of like, all right, is it recording? What are we going to go to move to next? I'm kind of half listening to you, half looking at the technical stuff, are the levels okay?
What did I say?
I forget exactly, but you said something last podcast, which I'm like, oh, that was really funny, and I completely missed it. But the funniest thing you said, or at least I think the funniest thing you said, was we were talking about really bad jobs in Korea besides our own, and just without a moment of thought, you just said, old ladies who move bricks. You didn't have to think about that.
That is the worst job ever. I used to, my first apartment in Bundang, I actually looked out on a major road. And I swear, the year that I lived there, they packed and unpacked the bricks at least 3 or 4 times.
Man.
I guess, like, I think they changed the color of them one time, and one time they put little rocks on the side, and apparently they used to remove the bricks to put the rocks on the side. I don't know. But those ladies were out there every couple of months, digging up the bricks and then re-putting them back and packing them in with the sand, and, yeah, that's the worst job ever.
I did once capture a picture of some old ladies doing road work in the summer, which is always good.
Man. We need some road work done. Yeah. Where are the 60-year-old women?
Oh, hey, well, how was your Gaechanzhou?
It was
Temple
really
of a Thousand Dogs.
Good. I'm trying to remember now what I did.
A Wednesday, just a day off, just chilled.
Yeah, I think I went into Seoul and went to the bookstore. But I was like, I'm going to go buy some books that I don't need. Because I've got like three bookshelves of, by bookshelves, I mean like complete, you know, several shelves of books that I have not read.
You got a gold mine in books.
Well, they're all, like, cheesy, you know. I'm not, like, a highbrow reader.
Still.
But anyway, I went and I was really disappointed. I didn't buy anything. Worth purchasing.
Right. Yeah, I said last podcast, we worked on Wednesday, but I got Friday off, so that's all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the kids were so depressed on Wednesday.
I'll bet.
But it's almost like, looks good on ya.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have sympathy sometimes. I don't know. It's just like... Consider it my revenge by proxy.
I don't know. Whenever, like some of the kids that go to Hagwon on Sunday or whatever, like I just feel bad for them.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I just think their moms wake up in the morning and like, how can I get those kids out of the house a little bit more?
That's true, yeah. That Saturday holiday they've started instituting has just freaked out Korean society.
Yeah, the five-day work week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I got to spend time with my family on Saturday. And,
no!
Oh, my God. You know, it's just, you know, kids aren't going to school. What's going on? Yeah, I don't know.
So, did you get your immigration situation handled?
Oh, God. You know, I went down there Monday. And, Monday. And, They opened up the new branch in Jongno, Anguk Station, Exit 6, across from the Girl Scouts.
Very clearly marked Girl Scouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their That's where the beautiful store is.
There's a store there?
There's a thrift store.
You've been there?
I've been to the outside of it and looked through the windows.
Oh, okay.
It was closed.
All right. But for a long time, it wasn't full service. Like, you could go there for your entry cards, your re-entry visa, multiple entry visa, yada, yada, yada. And it was always empty. But now it's like you can get the whole range of services. You used to get at Mokdong. You can get, you know, your ARC card, as I like to say, alien resident card.
Yeah.
Card. And ATM machine, you know. SIN number, SSN number, social insurance number. And and I guess you can get, I'm thinking you can get your E2 visa extension. So I went there and thought I had the right paperwork and filled out the paperwork and then, you know, you take a number.
Yeah, you need two forms from your school as well.
Yes.
Plus a new contract.
Yes, well I had one form as I discovered, yeah. So you go there and you take a number, and thank God there's no line system, you know, because you know what lines are like here. It's just, you know, you just want to take your own life, especially if the line is, you know, a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have someone like bumping into you for 2 straight hours, shoving you forward, you know.
Yeah.
Where can I go?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, lines here sometimes.
I've nearly gone postal at the grocery store on numerous occasions from getting knocked with a cart for like 15 minutes straight.
Yeah. So you go there, you take a number, and then you sort of sit down for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go in and then you take your number, and it's like, my number was 343.
Now serving 20.
No, well, now serving like 180. But then there are a lot of like ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. A lot of people abandon their.
Well, yeah, because they've got to go to work.
Yeah, they don't give themselves the hours that you should give yourself. So yeah, so a couple tips, I guess. One, you don't have to go all the way out to Mokdong.
If you live north of the river,
yes.
Only.
Yeah, there are certain areas that it, you can only use it. So if you're north of the river and kind of east of Mokdong, then you can use it, yeah. So you don't have to go all the way out. I call it Jesusville. Go all the way out to Jesusville. No one ever gets that metaphor. You know, Jesusville, where does Jesus live? Jesus lives in heaven. Where's heaven? Heaven's got to be really far away.
Okay.
So Jesusville is someplace really far away. So anyway, so you don't got to go to Jesusville anymore. You can go to Jongno, and but it's just as crowded and busy. And yeah, and you always have to get like little revenue stamps.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why you cannot just give your 30,000 won to the girl who sits at the desk.
The woman.
Yeah. Why do you have to go downstairs to the like bitter woman in the kiosk?
Yes.
And give her your money.
Yeah.
So she can like angrily throw the stamps at you.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of see a bit of a freaky foreigner where there's like an information desk and they have a little sign saying information and then information in Chinese and information in Japanese and there's one woman behind the desk.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure she's not speaking five languages,
yeah.
You know? So there was some whitey in there and he was like trying to ask her for information and I don't think she was the English speaker. So he kind of like seemed rather upset.
So her information was mola.
Yeah.
Mola.
Yeah, mola. Yeah. So he kind of picked up the little sign and then sort of dropped it on the desk. Like.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm like, chill out, dude. You know, there's right. one woman there and the sign's got five languages on it.
Yeah, think about America. How many languages would they even pretend to have offered at the information desk? Exactly
yeah.
zero.
Yeah. It's lunchtime. Maybe the English woman's not there. They're just not yeah. English speakers. You know, I don't know. So anyway, yeah.
How dare they not have three people that are fluent in foreign languages on staff at all times?
Exactly. Well, what kind of slows this whole process down is people finally get up there and then they realize, oh, I don't come with the revenue stamp, so they got to go back to the thing and wait, blah blah blah. So yeah, make sure you get there with a lot of time, 3 hours. You got to be at work at 4, make sure you get there at 9 a.m.
Yeah. Also, the one in Mokdong, even though they don't actually start working until 9, they let you in and get a number and fill out paperwork from 8:30.
Oh, okay.
So if you do get there at 8:30, then chances are you'll be there less than an hour
that's good.
After 9.
Yeah. So anyway, so I finally get up there and yeah, the woman's like, oh, you need your sponsorship form. I'm like, great. You know, can they fax it later? No. So she gives me a copy, so I got to go all the way back. And then they've got to put their little company stamp on the
yeah.
spot. But they've lost the stamp, the company stamp. So
they lost their stamp?
Yeah. So they got to get a new stamp made. And this is now, yeah. So a week later, I'm going to go tomorrow again. I'm not going to make sure I go really early, because I got there about 11:30 and finally got up to the counter about 2:15. So, I mean, do the math there. And, yeah, so I'm trying to get there at, like, 9 a.m., I think. Ugh. So, yeah. So, long and short of it, I still don't have my visa. You know, it just because I'm only here for a few more months, it'd just be easier just, I think, make a little, you know, just come back on a tourist visa, leave, go to Osaka or Sapporo or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you're Canadian. You get 6 months.
Yeah, have a nice little weekend holiday and then
except then you do have banking issues.
Really, there's some banking issues, like because I already got my bank and stuff.
Yeah, but if you want to send money home or if you want to get money put into Canadian dollars when you leave,
okay, that might be a problem then. So yeah, our snack of the week. I can't believe we haven't done this, our snack.
These are one of my favorite Korean treats.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those where you have to sort of take a very close look at it, because if you just see it at the corner of your eye, you think it's a product called Binch. But it's Binch, B-I-N-C-H. Yeah.
Which I think is a really funny name.
Binch. Well, yeah, Binch is a pretty funny name, too. It sounds like, what was that, Johnny Dangerously, that movie, Johnny Dangerously.
Well, like, also, because Korean, the P and the B, it's the same letter. So it could be read as, like, pinch.
Pinch? Okay, right, yeah. Well, the movie Johnny Dangerously, where the Italian guy has, or I don't know if it was Italian or Greek or something, he's got all these incorrect swear words. And the one that I think has come down to us for that movie is biatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's where it was coined in that movie, Johnny Dangerously. You farging ice hole, things like that. Yeah. And so what? It's kind of like a little chocolate wafer. Well, like a
chocolate covered
cookie with a chocolate kind of a wafer kind of thingy.
So the bottom's kind of like a Twix.
Yeah.
But instead of having caramel, it just has chocolate on the top. And it's round.
And there's this, there's a musical instrument. There's a, on the cookie, there's a...
a woman with a hoop skirt and a parasol.
You've got a hoop skirt and a parasol? Because I've got a harp. What do you call that?
That's a harp.
Yeah, there's a harp. Yes.
You can't get a picture of my parasol because I ate it.
Oh, so it actually has different pictures. Ooh, so it's like almost like Cracker Jacks, like something different in every package.
Speaking of, sort of, well, speaking of things that have different ones for each one, ABC Chocolate has a dark chocolate now.
ABC Chocolate?
You don't know ABC Chocolate?
No, I don't.
When I came to Korea, like, you couldn't get Snickers and Twix and all that. And ABC Chocolates are little chocolates that have the alphabet on them. Instead of, like, alphabet noodles, it's alphabet chocolates.
Okay.
And it was actually the only edible chocolate, in my opinion, when I came to Korea. And now I saw yesterday they had dark chocolate. And it's only, like, $9.90 a bag. It's really good value for money because it's not imported.
And English letters are saying. How could that be used for educational purposes?
I always would give those to my students because, like, they'd have to tell me what letter it was before I'd give it to them. But now I teach high enough level students, they'd laugh at me.
You know, as a motivating thing, they get the word they can spell.
Ooh, yeah.
So if they can spell a really long word.
Teacher, I could spell onomatopoeia.
Exactly. I can't spell onomatopoeia. Then I'm not a very good speller. Man. All right, so yeah, so Bencha, it's quite good, actually. Nice crisp little cookie and a very flavorful chocolate. No complaints with the Bench.
And there's two versions. There's the one that's more of a digestive biscuit with the chocolate top.
All right.
They're a little bit pricier.
Okay.
For the digestive aspect, I suppose.
Oh, I got to show you the original Starbucks artwork. Because remember we were talking about, you know, the Whore of Babylon, and I said those little, that thing sort of that on either side of her head, you thought that was her hair?
The wavy stuff.
The wavy stuff, yeah.
The white things, I think, are like a... I don't know.
Right, and I said in the original logo, it was sort of a body sailor art, and it was her spreading her legs and tucking up behind her ears. See, I'm showing Jennifer on my... I took a picture on my camera.
I thought the one that they had now, I thought the white things sort of looked like fish fins, but I was like, but there's no way a mermaid could have a fish tail that big. But in your original one, in fact, living up to the sailor name, Split Tail.
Yeah, this logo is pictured on the Starbucks here in Bundang, but the one is the Samsung, or Living Plaza or something. There's another Starbucks really close by here, and right on the side of the building, they had the original logo. I'm like, what luck? Because I remember talking about that a couple podcasts ago. Man, but I have determined the happiest place on earth.
Well, it's Walmart.
No, after Disney. Wait a second. Now, you brought up a good point. The happiest place on earth to an expat here in Korea is genuine Walmart or a PX or something.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The second happiest place on earth, Disney World. The third happiest place on earth, Seven Monkeys Coffee.
See, now you're just making me want to go there. Every week you have something good to say about Seven Monkeys.
I love it. I'm insane when I'm there.
Because it's more fun than Seven Monkeys.
Well, what's fun with Seven Monkeys and coffee? Not just one monkey. Not just two monkeys. Not just three monkeys. You think three monkeys, I'm crazy. I can't have, there's a fourth monkey. And then you think five monkeys, someone's screwing with you. Five monkeys, this is like impossible. Jennifer, then they lay on a sixth monkey. And just when you think, I'm going to die, sensory overload.
I can't handle any more monkeys than
I cannot handle any more monkeys. There is a
seventh monkey.
A seventh monkey.
Brilliant.
I got goosebumps. Well, check it out. I got goose flesh. I'm just thinking of those seven monkeys. It's beyond exciting. And I still
you,
got the.
You really do have goosebumps.
It's not. It's not even going away. I'm telling you. You gotta try it. You won't be sorry. Oh, you know, speaking about our old coffee topic, you never did finish your coffee and flour story from a few podcasts ago.
What was my coffee and flour story?
Remember talking about, you were saying in Bundang, one of the big coffee trends are flour coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Flour shops that serve coffee?
Yeah, we've got a couple on the same street over at Sunay.
All right. Was there anything actually you wanted to add beyond the...
Well, one of the teachers went there the other day.
Okay.
And there's no menu board. You just get a menu after you've sat down and been after you've been served water.
Okay.
And so then, like, you're sort of stuck. You know, you can't politely just get up and go.
Right, yes.
And I think he paid $8,000 for a small Americano.
Okay.
$8,000? Yeah.
Ooh, jeez. All right.
But it's a very pretty little shop.
Wow.
And you get free water refills.
Look, that sort of segues us into our main topic. What are things way more expensive here? And what are things way cheaper here? So I guess, obviously, coffee.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I lived in Chungju and my husband and I were first dating, we went to a lot of coffee shops.
Okay.
And at that time, it was just, like, coffee mix.
Right,
and sometimes they would actually bring you a cup of hot water and your own mix packet to mix in yourself.
Wow.
And it was,
fancy.
Like, 4,000 won.
Right, okay.
Yeah, like, the same exact thing that you could go to the vending machine and get for 200 won.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Yes, that was, yeah. And well, still crappy atmosphere.
Right, yeah.
Old, rundown, like, ugly furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And being stared at the whole time because they've never seen a foreigner in their shop before.
You ever been to one of those places and like, some couple are just making out?
Well, coffee shops had a bit of a bad reputation.
Okay.
Down there that you could get more service than just coffee at some of them.
All right.
And so sometimes we would go in and then leave if we... Well, I mean, we never saw anything untoward, like the look that we would be given would be so obviously like, you are not expected or welcome here.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, like none of the, a customer, come on in.
Okay. And it's like the waitress is not an Ajumma in lingerie or something.
Yeah.
Right. Then, all right. So
nothing like that, no.
Right, yeah. Yeah, if it's a place of business, a very... sort of a pedestrian place of business, but they have Ajummas in lingerie, then you know this is just some bizarre Korean sex business that you, in your wildest imagination, they would not go together in North America. You know,
well, like the barber shops.
Yeah, haircutting sex places. I don't know. Then maybe topless donut shops would never occur to Koreans. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Sorry, just getting a visual image of...
topless donut? I get that visual image every day I walk by a donut shop. I'm like, that'd be awesome if this was a topless donut place. I always found it was weird is, like, you know, in Canada, you know, you can go to strip bars and drink beer and look at naked women. All right, fine. And there's no moral issues about that. But then a lot of places in America, you cannot combine alcohol and strippers.
Oh, not where I live.
Yeah.
In fact, where I live, you have to buy drinks.
Louisiana?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, but that's, you know, the Big Easy. You know, that's cool. And you got some Catholicism there, too. So,
yeah, we're
Catholic,
so we got to be drunk.
Exactly.
Too.
Nudity, alcohol, Catholicism, they go together. Yeah.
The alcohol purifies the sin of watching naked people.
Exactly. But, but then I found in Seattle, I mean, not that I made a career of this, but I never even went to one of those places in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
No, honest to God.
Allegedly.
But, you know, I'm well-read, so, but, you know, in Seattle, it'd be like, you buy juice and naked women or something, because I guess they won't, license you for alcohol.
$12 juices or something?
Yeah, I guess that was the idea. I don't know how much the juice was. So, versus in Canada, where it'd be like $6 for a beer, you know, and look at naked women, then it would be here in Seattle, it'd be like $5 for orange juice and look at naked women or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Actually, I mean, why not? You know, I mean, the drinks are always going to be overpriced anyway. And then in that way, it's probably better for the girls that they're not having, like, these guys getting drunker and drunker as the night goes on.
Exactly. All right. So we sort of strayed from the topic.
Yes, anyway.
Way more expensive. Yeah, coffee's definitely way more expensive. And even Starbucks, you know, I mean, you know, a tall drip coffee runs about $3. Used to be $2.80, and they raised it to $3 a couple of years ago, right on the New Year. Always on the New Year, look for price increases. You know,
Happy New Year!
Yeah, Happy New Year is going to cost you more. Yeah, always sort of be on the lookout for your price increases on the New Year.
That just makes it suspicious. Like, it's one thing if it's, you know, fluctuating prices that required them to up their prices. But when they're like, oh, New Year's Day, time to raise their prices. That just means it's like, you know, scheduled price increase.
Wow. And
anyway.
Other things. What are some other things that strike you as more expensive?
Anything that is foreign and not intrinsically Korean. So
right, yes.
Cheese.
Right.
Even bread. Like,
yeah.
You know.
It's insane.
My bread, I get like a half loaf and it's almost 3,000 won because I get the...
You go to Home Ever?
I do go to Home Ever and I get their whole meal.
Okay.
Bread.
Their bread's really expensive.
Their bread is really expensive, but it's actually brown bread. It's
really?
Not just brown colored bread.
Because when it was Carrefour, it was real bread, but it was like 90 cents.
Yeah, for their white bread, but they didn't have whole meal bread.
Okay.
So, brown bread... So, yeah, actually, I never even really bought their bread for myself because I don't eat white bread. I don't like it. But anyway, cheese, super expensive.
Yeah.
If you want to have a wine and cheese party, then you pretty much got to have some extra money saved up.
Okay, right.
mac and cheese.
Oh, right,
and cheese is like a luxury kind of deluxe item here. I've only seen it a couple times. It was always like $4,000 a box.
Right, yeah.
Same one that would be like... two or three for a dollar at home.
Well, if you go to the Red Door, you get it there. Expensive. But the foreign food store in Itaewon, next to What the Book, near Starbucks. Never been there either. Okay.
Sure.
So, yeah. And they've got an Indian version of mac and cheese.
That store is awesome. Because...
the prices are not bad.
Yeah. I think they get a lot of stuff from Costco.
Okay.
And then resell it.
Okay.
Which is good because Costco is a pain in the butt to get to.
You can get dill there.
Can you?
Yeah, like a big thing of like dill. You know, like not fresh dill, but dried dill, but all the same.
Yeah.
Dill. And it's not, you know, it's not priced crazy either.
No, their prices are really reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Unlike the other foreign food store that's in the Volvo basement.
Probably because they're like, you know, real Indian people shop there and, you know, and they're not going to pay a lot. You know?
Yeah. These guys that are making $900,000 a month, they can't really afford the expensive stuff.
Yeah. Something I like, definitely like Western clothing too, as we were saying a few podcasts ago, like the gap is here and it's easily double what you would pay.
Yeah. Although they only cop to 20%.
What's that?
They only cop 20%.
Right. They claim there's just a small markup, but bull crap. Yeah.
So not to mention that the Gap at home, they've always got like the $2 rack and the $5 rack and you know, it's all the stuff that hasn't sold for the past few months or whatever.
That's some cheaper things. Oh, actually, you know, I'm just looking across the street and I see they're opening up a Vietnamese restaurant. Vietnamese food is more expensive here.
Anything that's imported is going to be more expensive.
Like, you know, what's weird is like Japanese food is expensive, but if you give it the Korean name, then it's less expensive.
Yeah.
So you go to a Japanese restaurant, you know, sashimi at a Japanese restaurant, very expensive. But you go to a Korean place, soju and raw fish, much cheaper. All right. Yeah, but Vietnamese food is weird because in most places in North America I've been for Vietnamese food, it's always like inexpensive, you know, huddled around universities.
Like Chinese food though in America, like
that's true too.
It's usually like an immigrant family with their little mom and pop business and you know, like dirt cheap prices so low that you're like, how can this be legitimate made for human consumption meat products, you know?
Because they have no salary overhead. It's just all
Like, do they have kids working in the back that they're not paying?
Yes, they
do. What's going on? But here it's actually, like, it's foreign. It's imported.
Yeah.
And, you know.
my friend Lorna in Toronto. She's a chartered accountant, which is like a CPA in America. And but when she was growing up, you know, her parents had a Chinese restaurant, and from like, you know, the age of five, she was working in her parents' Chinese restaurant, and she's very unforgiving of her parents. Well, one, because they're like, we can't believe you became an accountant. They're like, this is shameful to them.
Oh God!
Like a chartered accountant, which is like, you know.
That's really hard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to write all these tests to become a CA is incredible. So, and I'm like, why would your parents ever think you've not made it in life, Lorna? She's like, I don't know. She's in Chinese culture. Like, you're a bean counter. That's all they understand, is I'm just like a little bean counter. It's not...
Okay.
It's a shameful position, you know, shameful profession. You know, you're one step below merchant or something.
Okay.
You're not even selling things. You're just counting their money. I don't know. So, but yeah, she, what she was saying, she was 5 years old, you know, little girl, like her job was to like help customers out to their car with their takeout Chinese food. And she's just like, anybody could have just thrown me in their van and driven off, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, so Chinese food, yeah, definitely more expensive here, unless it's Koreanized Chinese food.
Yeah, jajangmyeon, yeah. Dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Anything else? You're paying an arm and a leg for.
Yeah, cheaper.
Holy chow, which is like American Chinese food, and therefore suits my taste. But it's just as expensive as TGI's or Outback or whatever, you know?
There's a Holy Chow in Toronto, a chain in Toronto. I don't know if it's the same one, because here Holy Chow is like, it's very high class.
Well,
you know?
So is TGI Fridays, which at home is like, you know, college date restaurant, you know?
Yeah. But here it's like Holy Chow is kind of expensive. But I remember in Toronto there was this child killer, and the only picture the media had of him was in his Holy Chow delivery guy uniform. You know, just one of the nastiest crimes, you know, in so many years. This you know, this scruffy looking guy has murdered a 5-year-old girl, strangled her to death, and thrown her body down a flight of stairs, and every front page of the paper has him wearing his Holy Chow delivery guy uniform, and I'm like, oh, that's some way bad PR. That's not.
Yeah, they could at least have, like, you know, blurred out the name on the uniform,
pixelated
or,
out, yeah,
the colors, something.
Cheaper booze is definitely cheaper, like beer.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you get though, because if you get like the foreign good stuff, then you know, again,
you can get drunk here really cheap.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you drink soju.
Soju outside of a Family Mart.
Yes.
Have
and
you done
so that's
that?
One of the awesome... Oh, yeah.
I've
oh
never
my
done
God.
That, but I want to do that.
That was like my favorite thing when I came to Korea and I saw people sitting outside the mini stop drinking soju. I was like, I want some of that.
Yeah.
Like, embrace my inner white trash.
Exactly.
Trailer park dwelling southern self.
I was, yesterday I was waiting, my friend was getting some drugs at the pharmacy, and I was sitting there, and I look out the window, and there's some guy just sitting down, and he's having his little lunch break, and he's eating, you know, sausage-y, you know, which was one of our snacks of the week, and a little bottle of soju, and he's just pouring himself a little paper cups of soju, and just, that was his
classy
lunch.
Classy lunch.
That was his lunch, So beer is inexpensive.
Korean
beer is expensive. Yeah, if you want to get, like, you know, I mean, Guinness, $8.
Yeah, Budweiser is not that expensive for a foreign beer.
Okay.
But, like, unless you really love Budweiser, it will probably pain you to pay, like, Heineken prices for a Budweiser.
Right.
Because it's sort of comparable to what, you know, Heineken or Beck's would cost in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, your imported beers are really expensive. And then like, I don't know, like, yeah, like your hard liquor, like scotch. It's a real status drink here, drinking scotch. And so it's like, a couple $100 or something.
Well, because they had those huge import duties, which could be coming down now at the FTA.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So they'll just double the price to make up for it.
Have you ever tried... Jinro, who makes soju. Oh. Jinro wine?
No, I had a really alcoholic roommate, and she would drink it, and it stained her tongue like Kool-Aid.
Jinro. And it's a bottle of red wine for, like, I don't know, it's like $1 or something.
Yeah. It's totally Korea's Boons.
It's like... There are bums in North America that would not touch that.
Yeah.
Thing, you know? I don't know.
Like, I'll stick to nitrate things.
Yes, you know, like Aquavel. I got to cut it with Aquavelva just because it's just so horrible. Yeah, man. But yeah, the Jinro. I was going to buy that. I was just looking for a cheap cooking wine. You know,
I don't think you could even use that for cooking. It's stained your food red.
I wouldn't even touch it for cooking wine. Like, yeah. And I'll take like 3 month old red wine I've had in the fridge, you know, just use that as cooking wine. But I have fresh bottle of, you know, Jinro red wine, you know. Yeah. Cheap. Getting drunk's really cheap here.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, transportation, subway.
Yeah.
Very cheap. 900. It keeps going up.
Yeah, but you know the price of fuel. You can't really blame them.
You know?
It's still way cheaper than it was when I was in Australia.
Well, as I was reading, like Wall Street Journal, their weekend edition, they have a thing called arbitrage, where they compare the prices of the same item in different cities around the world, and. And Seoul is almost always on top for most things, like, you know, electronics and stuff like that. But then they did subway transportation, and Seoul was near the bottom. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. London was like $4 or $5 for a subway fare.
Yeah, it was almost $4 when I was in Australia five years ago to go. I lived almost at the middle.
Okay.
Because it's actually like an X in Perth, and then it's four trains that meet in the middle. And I was like only a couple of stops from the middle, and then I would ride out to the end of one of the other lines, and it was almost $4 a ride.
Yeah. It's zoned here, so it's 90 cents to get on. But they did a sneaky thing where they've also slipped in a zone, an extra zone. Yeah. So what used to be like a, you know, like a 900 won one zone ride is now a two zone ride, and you know, a two zone ride frequently is now a three zone ride. Yeah, they narrowed the zone, so they didn't tell you that. They kept telling you about the subway, the fare increase, but they no one ever said anything about sort of
the zone increase,
zone shaving, you know.
I wonder how much it is to ride from Uijeonbu to Cheonan, line one,
like from the north all the way to the south.
Because line one, it goes almost to the DMZ at Uijeonbu, and then it goes
farther than Uijeonbu now.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, they've added stops.
Yeah, it goes all the way to Cheonan, which isn't even in Gyeonggi-do. It's in the next, to the south of Gyeonggi-do.
Now it goes to Osan Air Base.
It's past.
Yeah, okay, even past that, yeah. Wow.
But, I mean, when I used to live in Songtan, they were building the subway station. Okay. But still, like, the bus into Seoul was only like an hour. But to take the subway into Seoul, that'd take like hours.
That would be insane. Like
you know, it's 3,000 won for the bus, or you could spend half the day riding the subway, where you won't necessarily have a seat.
I would like to do that actually one time. Just take that whole.
Just take it from end to end.
Yeah, absolutely, end to end. Yeah, explore the end points of the whole subway system. What is actually at the end of this? I think I've gone down to Incheon, and. And then line 7, I've gone up to the northern tip, the last station. Yeah. But I'm always like, maybe there's just something there. You know, there's like the Canadian food store there that I've just, you know, it's just been there for years and I've never known it.
Well, I'm sometimes kind of curious to go to Yeongdeungpo and check out their Chinese stuff.
Ah, right.
Because apparently, when I took Korean classes, there was a Chinese girl who told the other Chinese girl about the Yeongdeungpo Chinese stuff.
Right, yes. Okay.
But since it's all in Chinese, I probably wouldn't know what most of it was anyway. So
there's also a French quarter here.
Yeah, I've been there by accident.
Really? Oh, by accident.
Well, I was looking for like a educational materials shop.
Okay.
But it had one of those typical maps that leaves out, you know, 87 blocks and three highways and a river. And so I was like wandering through the streets looking for it, and I passed the French school and little French neighborhood. I was like, ooh.
Wow.
How cool.
Did you just see that list of world's cheapest places to buy iPods?
No.
Yeah. Well, oddly, Korea wasn't, you know.
How surprising.
Yeah.
Actually, they've only got, what, like a 50% markup on Samsung products.
Yeah, they were like, they were near the top Korea. Yeah. You know, like Bulgaria, Korea, one of these things does not belong with the other, you know. But electronics giant versus, you know, crawling out of the third world Eastern European nation where everything's imported. And the prices are similar. I don't know. But yeah, but right at the bottom, Hong Kong was the lowest. It was like an iPod, you know, like 138.
Wow.
Yeah, and then America was actually the second lowest, like 140. But if you think, like, you know, Hong Kong is just this free trading zone, and America's only a couple bucks more expensive. America's doing something right. And Canada was sort of vaulted up a few notches above that. Yeah. I think about 160 in Canada, and then 180 in Korea. So, yeah, Canada. Well, I was looking at the cheaper in Korea, buying American currency now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at the exchange rate, and Canadian money is actually valued higher than American money now.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I'm like, there's going to be a new law around here, Jennifer. We're going to be doing things differently around here as Canadians. Now we're in charge.
Yeah, I got upset the other day. I opened up the international part of the paper and it had a big headline, the yuan has biggest drop in 3 months. And I was like, man, damn it. You know, because it seems like that always happens right before I go to the bank to exchange some money. And then I looked at it and it was like 9.16 to the dollar.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the drop was like 0.03%.
Yeah. Well, Canadians like 9.18. And it just keeps going up and up. I'm like, oh, crap. Because, you know, it was like 800.
So Americans are not going to be going to Canada for any reason.
No. No, I wonder about TV production and movie production in Canada. That's going to suck, too. But, yeah. Man. But it's great for the Florida vacation, I'll tell you, in Canada. Yeah. And I guess as it creeps up near the par, it makes calculating things really easy. Well, that's a dollar Canadian or a dollar or, you know, 1,001, that kind of stuff. So
I wonder if they'll have to change book prices.
Book price?
Because all the book prices, right. It's always like $1 or $2 more for
in
the
Canada,
Canadian price.
Yeah. Don't count on it. Wow.
All the people who live in border towns will be driving across.
Well, my hometown, Windsor, is a lot of people work in the States, work in Detroit in the auto industry. And I mean, when it was, you know, it was American dollar was $1.50 Canadian, it was like, it was, you know, streets are paved with gold, you know, people are buying boats and cars and, you know, and, but now I'm like, I'm laughing at them. They got to be like, oh my God, you know,
right.
I'm earning,
watch my paycheck disappear.
Exactly. I'm earning even less and it's costing me more. I got to drive there and I got to pay tunnel fare and, yeah, that's a lesson to be learned. You know, good times do not last forever.
Yeah, especially if you work in the auto industry in America.
Yeah, do not ever pretend the good times will last forever.
Yeah.
No. But that's during the IMF days. You're basically, your Hagwon salary was equivalent of making like $500 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And schools, like when I first came to Chungju, that was when it was first starting, the first little bits of recovery.
Okay.
And the Canadian teachers had a good reputation because when the bottom fell out of the one, the Canadian teachers stayed.
Ah, okay.
The American teachers left.
Because the bottom was falling out of the Canadian dollar. So.
And I was like, well, you know, if they could go home and be unemployed.
Right.
Or they could be here and have an apartment to live in.
Right, yeah.
You know, like...
There you go.
Apartment and, you know, at least having some money is better than homeless and broke.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not to mention that they would have had to buy a plane ticket with their, you know, now worthless money. You know. But they had, you know, a lot of Americans left because it was, you know, like winter and they couldn't even buy oil to heat their apartments.
Oh, my God.
You know, of course, the schools were in a bad situation.
Yeah.
So it's... And, not inclined to help in any way.
Wow.
You know, so it's not like any of the schools were like, oh, let us try and work something out with you.
If you don't mind a great deal of pornography, there's a blog called ESLscumbags.com, and it's put out by this drunk guy. I don't think this guy's ever sober.
Wait, is his name Steve?
I don't know what his name is, his real name.
Is it my ex-husband?
No, not you. No, this guy... Actually, this guy is from your parts, Louisiana.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, well, I'm so proud.
Yeah. And he used to work in Korea back before the IMF and over the IMF, in the old days. I think when he gets really drunk, he writes. I think he's always drunk, actually. So he's always writing about...
So when he's awake.
Yeah, basically, yes. So he's always writing about the teaching in Korea. But he kind of breaks up his blog entries with, like, pictures of, like, naked Korean women.
Okay.
So it's not definitely not work safe. He's like, you know, like those drunk writers who are just actually really good. You know, okay. They probably can't write well sober, but when he's drunk, he's a really good writer. Incredibly offensive at times, but also giving a really interesting peek into what it was like here, you know, before everything's
before
changed.
TGI Fridays.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Kmart.
ESL scumbag. He uses the C word a lot, you know. So if you're really highly offended by everything and anything, you don't want to visit his blog.
Or maybe if you're just highly offended by anything.
Yeah. But, I don't. He's married to a Korean woman and has a kid. And you just read this and you go, you know, if you're a single drunk guy, this would be a really funny blog, but... Oh, I feel so sorry. Someone's really suffering here, you know. Like, I don't know. Oh. So cheaper stuff. Anything else cheaper? Strikes as being cheaper?
Well, in Boondong, really not a lot is cheaper.
All right.
But in the other places I've lived, so okay. Chunju, Songtan, okay. and Suwon.
All right.
Anything that is not imported
yes.
is cheaper.
Okay.
Some things are quite a bit cheaper.
Movies aren't too bad here.
Yeah.
Place. What's a movie going for these days? $7.
No, that's more than at home.
Yeah. Depends where your home is. Toronto, well, I think prices have come down a little bit in Toronto, but yeah, they're getting up about $12, $13, $14 for a movie.
If you buy it from a friendly sidewalk vendor who is...
Yes, you can get very inexpensive DVDs.
An authorized dealer on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Then it's now 4 for $10. If they don't have a jewel
Why
case,
not?
If they don't have a jewel case, if they just have the
right.
like a plastic vinyl wrap.
All right, but even like what I'm imagining are legitimate DVDs. Like the Hollywood movies are actually very cheap here on yeah. DVD. Yeah, like if you want to, but they're region three.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but interesting way around that is if you want to take those movies home, where you're going to be going home to a region one player. Is you can either buy a multi-regional DVD player, or you can buy a DVD player at home and go on the internet, and there are hacks.
Yeah,
you can make it multi-regional. But then the other thing is, you can just buy a really cheap, you know, USB external DVD player and just change out to region 3 and play your DVDs back at home.
Yeah.
So you can definitely get inexpensive DVDs here. Part of the reason is...
And I will say that the street vendors with their fully authorized versions...
Yes.
I have a Region 1 DVD player because I'm cheap. So
okay.
I bought a $50 DVD-VCR combo last time I was in the States.
Okay.
It plays them. No problem.
All right. Okay. Wow, they're multi-regional, are they?
Could not play Region 3 on there, but I can play the sidewalk ones.
Yeah.
Not that I support such an industry.
What was the, when Hollywood was, you know, the movie industry was creating the regions, that was before Korea took off as an economic tiger. And so Korea got lumped in with Thailand, Malaysia, all these Southeast Asian nations. Because I guess their GDP was pretty similar at that point. So, but now Korea is, you know, 11th or 12th largest economy, way, way ahead of Malaysia, Philippines, that sort of crap.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of keeping the costs down because you could just bring in a Thai DVD if you wanted because it's Region 3. So the Hollywood films, they have to kind of keep inexpensive to sort of combat that, importing them from other region 3 nations. Yeah,
that's true. Because if you go to like COEX or whatever, they are Electroland,
right,
and they've got shops that have actual real DVDs.
Right.
Then a lot of times, some of them will have languages other than English and Korean on the box.
Okay, right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just imported from other Region 3 countries.
Yeah. And, well, there was a Canadian website. You know, what's that American DVD rental?
Netflix.
Yeah, the Canadian version of that. The Korean movies, they have organized under the Southeast Asia section.
Because they don't have a map?
Exactly. I've emailed them a few times going, you know, Korea's actually in East Asia.
Right.
Not in South.
Right there next to Korea, right there next to Japan.
Yeah. And they've written back to me going, thank you for your suggestion. Like, I'm merely suggesting Korea is
suggesting that it's not in Southeast Asia, there next to Thailand.
God.
Tucked somewhere in the Golden Triangle.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Did you get any English t-shirt finds this week, Jennifer?
Well, someone just walked by with an I Heart You, E-W-E shirt on, and
like,
I'm guessing I'm guessing they don't get the pun, but...
Is there a little sheep on it?
No.
There's no sheep on it.
It was just a black and white... Sure.
Oh, see, it would make more sense if there was a sheep. I heart you. It was like, you know, bonjour, you know, with the dog.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Obviously something they saw on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, how funny.
What was it? Drink, pee, repeat or something.
Yeah.
But you know, without the punctuation. Drink, pee, repeat. Yeah. Man. Yeah, there's this hair cutting place called Juno
yeah.
Hair, and one of my friends here, Korean guy from Australia, and he's here for a few months, and he wanted to know, well, where can I get my hair cut, you know, and so I started describing this place. So there's this place, Juno Hair. The women, they wear fishnet stockings and mini skirts, and he's like,
I'm in.
He's like, this is a hair cutting place, right? You know, I'm like, oh yeah, right. I forgot. I'm not making it. Yeah, it does sound like one of those hair cutting places, yeah. You know, air quotes, right? But
4, 5, 6 barber poles outside.
Yeah. No, this is a legitimate hair cutting place. But the women are completely dressed like
mini
skirts.
It's just a very trendy young kind of place. Like,
exactly.
Like if you're over 25, they really don't want your business.
Probably, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I just kind of. Funny how they dress or something. I think one of my friends, by her work, some doctor or dentist opened up a new office, and the uniform he had his nurses wearing was just like, you know, something out of Swedish erotica or something.
Okay.
You know, like, she's like, I don't know. But I don't think it's quite as bad here as Japan.
Yeah, well, nothing could be.
Do you ever watch the J Channel?
No.
On my cable, there's something called the J Channel, which maybe shouldn't be confused for the J Channel on New York cable. So I think the J Channel on New York cable is this public access porn channel.
Oh,
but,
excellent.
But here, J Channel is like this Japanese... They take Japanese shows and then they subtitle them in Korean.
Okay, I don't think I have that channel.
And there's a show, wrestling, like women wrestling.
Yeah.
And sort of like the GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, that used to be on.
Yeah, I used to get that channel.
Oh,
it was
really
horrible.
Yeah. And
there was like completely like maybe a step above amateur, maybe.
GLOW?
GLOW. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Yeah, I remember in the early days it was very kind of backyard sort of wrestling crap. But then suddenly became like, what, attractive women with big breasts wrestling? You know, and then they moved to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it got really high class after that. Well, actually, my friend went to go see a taping of it in Vegas. His uncle Armin wanted to go see it. Armin was this big Italian guy. He liked women wrestling. So anyway, yeah, and he said If you ever watch the show, you never hear the crowd sounds. It's because when you go there, the men are shouting the most obscene things at the women, like, you know, punch your boobs, you know, things like that, and worse. You know, the C word gets used a lot by the people in the crowd, too, so, yeah. But this, it's like all these, Japanese women dressed like their anime characters, and, like, you know, nurses, and, you know, little devils, and all these little costumes, and then they wrestle. And
I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't know. I'm like, can I watch the show or can I not watch it? Like, I don't.
Are they of age?
I don't know. Yeah. There's no nudity, so I just turn it off because it's like,
oh, okay.
If there's gonna be some nudity, then it's worth my time. But if there's gonna be no nudity, then it's just like, why do I want to watch this? Yeah.
Can we title this episode that Carl talks about porn and nudity?
I guess, yeah, there's a little sub-theme here. All right. We got some guy wearing pants, the brand Old Army.
Is that Old Navy's poor little cousin?
Yeah. Not to confuse
which
them.
Is sad because Old Navy itself is like a...
Inexpensive,
yeah. I think it's kind of like the Gap's inexpensive little cousin.
Yes. Well, it's part of the whole Gap chain, right? Old Navy.
Yeah, and it's like the inexpensive one.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, what has terrible thread count goes to Old Navy. what has slightly better thread count goes to the Gap, and then the best thread count, they go to Banana Republic or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Man.
So Old Army, that'd be like
Old Army.
Somewhere between Old Navy and Kmart?
Could be, yes.
Okay.
And then a little notebook one of my students had, like in the spirit of Old Navy, Old Army. It's this Paul Frank looking monkey, but it's not Julius. It's Mr. Mong, and then he's on a little desert island, and then he's crying and he says, "Not good at English."
So his mom made him go live on that little island.
Ah, okay. You think that's how we... Ah, maybe. Oh, maybe there's an implied threat. I never thought about that. Because I'm trying to figure out... He's on a deserted island. There's nobody on that island. Why is he, like...
crying because his English isn't up to par?
Yeah, I don't have a flare gun. Because there's these little balloons around him, right? You know, that could come in and rescue him. So instead of, like... crying he doesn't have a flare gun or, you know, a water purifier or something, he's like, "I'm not good at English," cries. But yeah, okay, maybe right. Maybe he was sort of, yeah, exiled to that island because of his poor English.
Until his Hagwon grades get better.
Yes. All right. Man. And then I found this poster on my classroom wall. I never really looked at it too closely, but the other day I was looking at it really closely, and they're trying to teach the word hang. And so the teachers, they got these cute little dinosaurs that they are, you know...
Hanging,
like by a noose, like they're executing. And after they've executed the cute little dinosaur, then they chop its tail off, and then they roast it on a spit. And I don't know if they're roasting it alive. Its mouth is open. It looks like it may be in some form of pain. But,
yeah, it looks like it's being roasted alive there.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's not... First, they don't kill it, and then they roast it alive. This is just some...
No, I think that's a separate animal.
Okay, all right. So that's not sort of like a little two-step
like
process.
One gets hanged, and the other one gets roasted.
Wow. This is like... You know, it's like... the Inquisition or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But,
I like that the point of it is to teach, like, present, past, and past participle.
Hang.
It's like demonstrating hang. The difference between hung and hanged.
Ah.
See, the guy hung his something or other up on the stick, and they hanged the poor little animal whose eyes are now bugging out.
Oh, a good observation. I wasn't even looking at that. Yeah, I was just thinking like maybe these dinosaurs have denied the Trinity or something, and so now they are being tortured and punished or something. I don't know. Man, did you ever see anybody here trying to go up a down escalator?
Yes.
It's a fairly a common occurrence, isn't it?
Yes, and it makes me very not very happy.
I'm thinking, you know, there are four lines of evidence you can use to determine the direction of the escalator.
Well, it's moving, for one thing.
Exactly. Well, the first line is memory.
Yeah.
Don't get on the one you were on before.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, right. The second one is the movement.
Yes.
If the stairs are going up, then that's the up direction. If they're going down, that's the down escalator, right?
You want them to go away from you, not towards you.
Yeah. And then frequently there's a big arrow.
Yes.
Right in front.
Or an X.
Yes, exactly. Or an X.
Go in or don't go in.
Yeah. And then finally, the movement of other people.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And a lot of times, those four lines of evidence are ignored.
Insufficient evidence.
Yeah. And you see a guy trying to get up the down escalator.
Yes.
Usually they catch it at the very last second. But the other day I saw a guy. Oh, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, he got a couple steps up that thing before he realized what was going on. First he realized something strange is going on.
They seem to be working against me. Yeah. What is this?
Wow. Yeah, he nearly fell on the back of his head.
Oh, my God. No, I seem to just run into people that purposefully want to go up the wrong way. And so, like, they do these wild, you know, arm movements trying to give themselves ballast and move faster to beat it. And I'm just like, I'm trying to actually go somewhere.
Oh, man.
You know, because sometimes you don't have a choice.
Right.
There's actually no stairs to take.
Right.
So if some idiot is trying to go the wrong way and they're flailing their arms out from side to side, then you really don't have the option of going around them. But it takes them, of course, 10 times longer than necessary to go the wrong direction.
And the the crazy Jesus preachers in Myeongdong. I think there's like a crucifix arms race going on or something.
Yes.
I saw this one guy, and he had like the biggest cross I've ever seen someone carrying, but it was inflatable.
Nice.
So I'm like,
doesn't have the same.
Yeah, it's like, aren't you supposed to be carrying the cross to kind of emulate the suffering and, you know, that kind of stuff? And Jesus did not have a blow up cross, right?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So this guy's got this huge ass cross. And then he's got, you know, he's got the megaphone. And then written inside the megaphone are words in the megaphone. So in case, I don't know, you're deaf or you found some way to drown out his preaching, you can still read the message in the megaphone. And not to be outdone, the young crazy guy who has like this pith helmet with like then a sandwich board sign on top of his pith helmet. And he's got these little John Lennon glasses and you know, I think I said before he looks like John Lennon from, you know, How I Won the War or something, whatever that movie was. And So he used to have like a little sign he carried, like a little banner, and the megaphone. But now he's got like this dolly, all right. And in the dolly there's this big metal pole, which then when he's trying to set up, he struggles to get this huge ass sign, like you know, billboard size sign. He's trying to get into that dolly, that pole. So he gets it all put in there. And so he pulls this little dolly around now.
Oh, my God.
But wait, there's more.
In case that's not enough crazy for you.
Yeah. Then he's got, like, he wears now a dress. And, like, with, like, images of white people burning in hell.
Oh, my God.
And on front and back. And then I also noticed on his dolly, he's got, like, a combination lock. So I guess when he's leaving his... it unattended, he can lock it up like
somebody's gonna steal it.
Exactly. You know, there's no honor among street preachers or something.
Apparently,
like I want that.
I wish I had a big pole on a dolly.
Oh man.
How about the lady? Same old, same old.
They're still there. But now I'm just like, it's keeping them off the streets of Kandahar. I think it's a good thing now, you know. Before it seemed like an irritant, but, you know, it's keeping them out of Afghanistan, so it's a good thing.
Okay.
Grandkids do the darndest things.
Kids do the darndest things. Your children do anything cute or irritating this week?
Oh, I got that new bunch of I got that new morning class, and it's okay. A 3.5 hour class with. Oh no, actually they're quite good. They're kindergarten age, but their English is quite good.
All right.
Except for one kid whose English is quite good, but he's just an obnoxious little loud kid.
All right.
And he's like loud and whiny and pushy and annoying.
Okay.
And I don't know. I really don't have a specific point about him other than to complain about his loud and whininess.
So you're looking forward to a new semester of that?
Yeah. It's going to be like until the end of December, I guess. I'll have them once a week.
Oh, wonderful. All right.
Yeah. Well, except for him. The other kids are all adorable and delightful.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah. But I was like, they have a... the 30 minutes of that class is actually... a little lunch break for them because they're kindergartners.
Okay,
so,
right, sure.
At 12, one of their moms comes and feeds them all.
Okay.
And I was just laughing. I was doing my prep while they were in there, and I swear, I don't think he ate a single bite without complaining or asking for something. In 30 minutes, all I heard was his voice. I want more water. I want some. Give me that.
Wow.
I need some water. Give me more water. Give me some of that. Pass it over. Get it here. Oh, my God. Smack him.
Oh, God.
That was with the door closed, by the way.
Okay. You know, I was doing my, like, little interviews with my students. They're speaking test.
Okay.
And so we got to break it sort of down, you know, vocabulary, pronunciation, you know, and, you know, their actual speaking ability. And, you know, the vocabulary... if they're using Korean words on me, or they're just trying to use hand signs,
okay,
you lose points for that. You know? If they're just answering single words, then you know they lose points for speaking. Pronunciation, if it's fishy, lunchy, you know, they lose points for that. So, but I'm talking to this one girl. I forget how it came up, but she's almost trying to interview me now. She wants to know about my wife.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I'm not married. You know, but they know my age. And they're like, so she's like, I thought you were married.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm not. Well, why aren't you married? So I always like to answer, well, because only handsome boys can get married. And then she's like, but teacher, my father is ugly and he got married.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm like, so, you know, I'm trying to save her from herself now. And I'm like, well...
maybe before he had you.
Yeah. But then I'm like, well, if not handsome, then smart boys. And she's like, teacher, my father is not smart. I'm like, this will not leave this room,
yeah.
Susan.
Kind boys can get married. Oh, my father's not kind.
I know. Just drop the subject and move on, you know. Oh, man. One of my girls, who's a just terrible student. You know, she's the kind of the one that has to do hand signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So terrible English, not terrible, like, obnoxious and annoying.
Yeah, terrible in some ways.
Okay.
But she's the one I bought the diet snack food for. And one day she's like, well, you know, I always ask my students, how are you? She's like, oh, I am terrible. I'm a terrible teacher. What's her name? Alicia. And I'm like, but she'd just been in my office and I had the special diet snack food for her.
Okay.
And I'm like, Alicia... I bought you special food today, just for you. Does Jenny get special snack food? You know, does Matt get special snack food? No, only you get the special snack food. How could it be such a terrible day? Your teacher is buying you special snack food. Okay, you're right. It's not so bad. You know, I don't know. But I don't know, she brought these pillows in, these like really fluffy, weird.
She brought pillows.
Pillows
to class.
Yeah, I know.
That might be an indicator of why her English may not be improving at a pace.
It's like foreign teacher. That just means sleeping class, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So she's playing with the pillows. So I seize the pillows, but I'm looking at them and they look like They look like pom-poms. So then I'm like, hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. So I start doing like a little cheerleader thing in front of the kids, and they're just like, oh my God. You know?
Teacher is crazy again.
Exactly. That's what they call me. They call me crazy teacher. Are you a crazy teacher? Yes, I'm a crazy teacher. Really? Yeah, I'm a crazy teacher. But one of the girls I was interviewing, you know, I was asking them, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite movie? And either they can't answer because they just don't go see movies. They don't have time in their life to see movies. Yeah. Or, you know, they'll answer like Harry Potter or Shrek. But now there's been a bit of a sea change. Now it's D-War. They all love D-War.
They're all required by law to love D-War.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's all right. You know, they're like...
Yeah, impressionably aged.
They're 11. You know, it's just like dragons and things blow up. They love that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why they can love D-War. But then one girl says, Fantastic Four. I'm like, okay, that was a pretty crappy movie, Fantastic Four, you know, but like, wow, that's... Yeah, that's some unpatriotic crappiness, you know? Like, if you're going to pick a crappy sci-fi movie...
Right, at least pick one from your own country.
Exactly, pick D-War, you know, something like that. This Fantastic Four jazz.
But then again, they played it on TV, like, 27 times this week.
Oh, really? Okay.
So maybe it just came to mind first.
Okay, all right.
Because you know how in Korea, like, they can't play a movie once, when it's so much better if they play it 100 times in 12 days.
Right, yes.
And actually, it's being played on like 3 or 4 channels right now.
All right.
For maximum annoyance.
Have you noticed movies don't last long at the theater here?
No, they don't. But they can't really because of the quota system.
Is that why? Because even a blockbuster movie will vanish after 3 weeks. You got to see the movies there really quickly, or else they're gone.
Yeah, I kind of want to see Shut Up and Sing. But I'm going to guess it's going to be a one-weeker. And even when they had the review in the paper, not a single theater that they listed actually was playing it.
Okay. Is that a Korean movie?
So, no, it's the Dixie Chicks, the documentary about,
right. Okay.
You know,
yes. Okay.
The Bush insult heard around the world.
Okay. Okay, right, yeah. There's some new movie, like the two movies, and they're the same theme, which is not even uncommon in North America. There's always some things. There's like two of the same movies, you know, Ghostbusters, Poltergeist, whatever. But about middle-aged Korean guys who form their band again or something and go out on the road. I don't know. It looks interesting, but I got to wait till they come out on DVD. Yeah. Oh, well. Not really a funny story, but just a funny girl. I call her Demon Girl because she likes to roll her eyes back so you just see the whites of her eyes.
God.
I got a picture. I'm like, that is so cool.
Oh, I think,
yeah. But you know what I do is like I put my finger in my mouth and I do that.
Yeah.
That popping sound. They just look at me like, you know, I'm levitating. Like, you know.
Magic.
I know. How do you do that, teacher? So I give them the step by step. You know, I show them, and they can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah. Oh, you know, coming back to my hanky thing.
Okay.
Because last week, Rosa, she really slighted hanky users. What did she call us? Old or creepy or something? I don't know. Disgusting. And yeah.
But you can counter with green.
Yeah, that's what I argue. I'm like, it's, you know, yeah, it's environmentally friendly, and but it also has the bonus of being it is excellent for controlling your students, because first way to get it, you pull out your hanky and you blow your nose in it. You demonstrate what it is used for.
Not clean.
Yes, and then when they're like jumping out of their seats trying to run up to the blackboard, you can threaten to touch them with the hanky. And that makes them scurry right back to their seats. It's like whipping out a lightsaber or something. You just cattle prod. I don't know. They're just they are back in their seats. And if they try to move, you're like, I pull the hanky again. I will touch your skin with this.
It's better than a billy club.
Yeah, I will rub it on your desk. Yeah, and that's like you know, when I lick my things, keep them from trying to, you know, sneakily steal it. you know, it's just they got no defense against a snotty hanky. So look into it.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Yeah, we got a new letter about Epic.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, and this is from another user. He's in Ulsan now. I'll just identify
him. Ulsan's a fair-sized city.
Is it down by Busan?
It's an industrial city.
Yes, if you're down by Busan. Kind of... If Busan is at the southern tip, you kind of go east along the edge or something. So it's kind of northeast.
Well, Busan is like the southeast coast.
Okay, southeast. But if you kind of got to go sort of northeast up the coast, maybe. Yeah. To get to Ulsan.
My geography's kind of bad.
I'm bad with geography, too, here. You know, people are always talking about provinces here, and I'm just like, just nod my head. Yep. If it's outside of Seoul, I don't really care. I don't care. I have no intention of going there. But yeah, so Jay. Call him Jay in Ulsan.
Call him Jay because that's his name?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Carl. First off, let me say that I really enjoy your podcast. Listening to it in the weeks before I came to Korea really got me excited about living here. I just wanted to expound a little on the email you read last week concerning the EPIC program. We did stay at Korea University for orientation, their branch campus in Jocheon, which is in fact a small town of only 30,000 people. We were fed for free and housed in dorms for a week while given information from veteran English teachers as well as Korean teachers on what to expect in the classroom. EPIC does place teachers in large cities. Before 2002, however, public schools had no mandate to place native teachers in schools, so usually public schools who did request teachers were in rural areas where there were no hagwons. Now EPIC teachers are placed in every city in Korea besides Seoul. Seoul has its own program for placing native English teachers. SMOE, Seoul Metropolitan Office of Education. Teachers I was with during orientation were placed in Incheon, Daegu, Busan, Ulsan, and other places. Of course, there are still plenty of teachers who do not get placed in large cities, but you can request to be placed near or in one. Just like you said, though, you don't really have a choice about what city you go to. The 11-month contract thing must have ended a while back because none of the EPIC vets mentioned it during the orientation, and all our contracts are definitely 12 months. Little aside, John Hurt, I think he does the Metropolitan podcast blog. I think he did a really interesting history of the whole EPIC program. Yeah, and you were right. That was definitely one of the big complaints/features of EPIC is that they were screwing you out, but...
Yeah, and it's a government thing, but that is one generalization you can definitely make about Korea is that things change frequently and without warning.
And overnight, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, so it is no longer a feature.
So now you can actually get your legally mandated bonus.
Yes. All right. Lastly, I just wanted to say that I've really enjoyed being a public school teacher, much more than I think I would have teaching at a Hagwon. It depends on what you want, though. I have lots of friends here in Ulsan that teach at Hagwons, and they seem happy with their jobs. Happy people. That's good. People do come here and aren't happy.
Yeah. I like my job.
I like my job. How can you not like my job?
I like your job.
I'm not complaining. All right. Since that's your area of expertise, I'll let you wax poetic about them. Here are just a few reasons why I chose to go to the public school route. Do you say route or route?
I would say route.
Route, okay. I would say route.
Okay.
All right. Government job, so automatically guaranteed to get paid on time, not have insurance, pension, tax issues with shady hagwon owners. All right, so that's all been ironed out. Two, morning work hours. My hours are 9 to 5, in which I only teach 4 or 5 classes a day. Of course, many people would list that as a downside, but coming from teaching in the U.S., I'm used to working during the day and having my afternoons and evenings free. I also don't mind staying at school when I'm not teaching. I just go online and play games, read message boards, listen to podcasts, etc. Smiley face. Some hagwon teachers say they'd hate this, though, so to each their own. 3, structured curriculum. I have a little freedom to do things in class, but for the most part, each one of my classes is scripted out for me. A little dialogue, a little free-form conversation, and a little pronunciation. I teach right out of the textbook, which means no planning. Yeah, that's good. I don't do a lot of planning myself, so.
I don't now, because I've been teaching the same materials for so long.
But yeah, that's
true. At the beginning,
too.
It took me a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're here, like, after a couple of years, you can just look at a textbook and go, and do it.
Yeah.
Co-teacher. I have a co-teacher who is in the classroom with me that helps with translation and general crowd control. Yeah, that's definitely important.
Yeah, that's what I liked about my first job. That was, like, the sole good thing.
Yeah. This is identical to English teachers in Japan. Again, this is something that some Hagwon teachers say they'd hate, but personally, coming from teaching in the States and being responsible for everything, I'm more than content to sit back and let my co-teacher handle the discipline, usually with her big stick. Yes. What is it? Apparently, it's illegal to hit your students with your hand, but it is not illegal to hit them with a stick.
Yeah, and let me just say, the sticks that some of those teachers pick are somewhat similar to a cricket bat, a baseball bat, at the very least, like an inch thick dowel.
Yeah. Yeah, the math teacher has this. I mean, you would maybe like make a banister out of it.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, she carts that thing around. It's like Mr. Echo in Lost, that thing he has.
Yeah.
Teachers have that. And then they write scripture on it even, too. Like Mr. Echo. Yeah. They call it the love stick or something.
Yeah, well, in my husband's first school, they had a cricket bat.
Oh, yeah.
And the director called it the love bat.
Okay.
Because when he used it, it showed he loved you.
Wow. Yeah. The new front desk guy, he walks around with one of those kendo or kundo.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
Kundo stick.
Yeah. I love him. He's great. All right. Anyway, I know that this email is a bit long-winded. Hey, we like to fill lots of time. So feel free to use as much or little as you'd like on your podcast. I just wanted to make sure no one is scared away from a public school teaching job based on outdated information. Your podcast is awesome.
Of course it is.
Keep up the great work, Jane Olsan. P.S. The Japanese English program is called JET, J-E-T, P-P-S-S. Please don't say lung butter anymore. That makes me physically ill.
I don't even remember you saying that.
When I talk about, you know, the joy of walking upstairs in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah. Please just say phlegm. Please. Smiley face. All right, good.
Yeah, yes. And of course, it's always good to find out what's going on, because as I said, things change all the time here. And so if someone's coming here to teach and they're listening to get information, we don't just do this to complain about all the weird stuff in Korea.
You know, they did a study of the difference between Western smiley faces and Eastern smiley faces. Yeah. And it's interesting that Western smiley faces, we convey emotion with the mouth portion, and Asians convey it with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, the one thing you do in the West to get ahead in the job is get your teeth fixed.
Yeah.
Right? And in the East, you get your eyes made
fixed.
Round. Yeah. So definitely, I think in West, we convey emotion with our mouths more. And I think in the East, maybe eyes.
Yeah.
You know? My friend's nephew, I know, like, he likes to sit on my shoulders, you know. And when he wants to communicate that, he makes his eyes as big as possible. Right? But I think maybe my nephew in the West would, you know, he'd make it a smiley face or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's even learned kind of early. So.
He is very cute, by the way.
Yeah, he's kind of a cute little boy. Yeah. All right. Anything to add to that, Jennifer? The co-teacher. Yeah, the co-teachers can be good. There's also the possibility of conflict, too. If you're in a bad relationship with your co-teacher.
Oh, yeah.
That can suck.
I had some really, really horrible ones because my school kind of set us up to hate each other.
Oh, okay.
Like they would tell the Western teachers, your pay is really low because you have a co-teacher.
Okay.
You don't have to plan.
All right.
And they would tell the Korean teachers, we have these greedy foreign teachers that take all the salary money in the budget, but one day a week you'll have a foreign teacher in your class, and so that's basically you only have to show up. You don't have to do anything that day. So we'd both show up going, so what's the plan for today?
Wonderful.
And I would have some that would, like, bring their coffee pot and actually take the coffee pot and table out into the hall. So they wouldn't even be disturbed by the sounds of English all day.
Right, yes.
And I would never see their face all day. And I had some that would sit at the desk that was on the little stage, because this is in the public school, so they have like a little stage. And they would sit there and talk on the phone at like full volume.
Okay.
Right next to me trying to teach.
I've got a little stage in my classrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, which I frequently trip over and fall off of. Kids love it, of course. You know, teacher nearly killed himself.
We have one class that has a stage, but because of the size and shape of the class, the desk is off of the stage and the chair is on the stage. So you can't actually put the chair under the desk.
Okay.
It's very odd and uncomfortable.
Man.
But so co-teachers were good when they would yell at the obnoxious kids.
Right. Okay.
And they were pretty much crappy the rest of the time.
Okay, yeah. And the other thing, too, is the co-teacher, again, you know, maybe a greedy foreigner. I'd be paid more if it was for the greedy foreigner. But also, too, the, you know, like, what, I'm not good enough to teach English?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I will say, in defense of the greedy foreign teachers getting paid more than them, first of all, my salary was a whopping 1.3 at that school. This was shortly after IMF. And second of all, with my crappy Korean, we only spoke Korean together because it was better than their English, and they had degrees in English.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. That's my justification for my whopping fat salary.
Yeah. But let's say you do get a fairly reasonably competent Korean co-teacher, you know, English, and then you get your typical, you know, backpacker, right? Just fell out of an airplane. Which wave to the cheap booze and easy Korean girls, you know. Oh, you mean I actually have to teach? You want me to, how dare you? You know, there has to be some problems there that's going to create.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know dick all, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
and I've certainly run into foreign teachers that kind of have a vague idea of what a noun is.
Yeah.
Maybe they know what a verb is.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can put them together and make a sentence.
I gotta say, you should know the basics of English, but you know, you also learn a lot of your own language, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lexical terms about, you know. I didn't know the names of a lot of grammatical points,
like clauses and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't, like, I knew how to say it correctly and I knew how to write it correctly or correct it. But I didn't actually know the name of what it was called. But over time, you know, I've learned a lot of stuff. But you do sort of have to be mindful of needing to learn that kind of stuff in order to teach it properly.
Right. Especially if the Korean grammar teachers are going to suddenly grill you on things.
Yes.
That's always sort of embarrassing when you're kind of like, well,
That was something that spurred me on. One of my Korean co-teachers who had, like, the worst English ever.
All right.
We were in class one day, and one of the students asked why donkeys is spelled just with an S and not IES.
Okay.
And I was just like, it just is.
It just is, kid.
English has lots of exceptions to the rule.
Right, yeah.
And she was like, it's because it ends with a vowel before the Y? And I was like, so it does.
So it does, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was looking up, like, why are there exceptions in English? Like, why... How did that come about? Like oxen. And one of the reasons was where, I think it was like, you know, because you got a blend between like German and French.
Yeah, I was going to say, part of it would just happen because so many languages contributed to English.
Yeah, so some of the old words take the, like, I think in German, you know, adding N makes it plural. Whereas, you know, in another language, you know, adding S makes it plural. But some of the words just kept the old German system of pluralization, oxen, something like that. Okay. That's why we have these exceptions.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show. Jennifer Cotisol.
Coming
up this...
international conference, last weekend of the month.
Okay.
It will be at Sungmyung Women's University, which is on the light blue line.
Okay.
Like one stop away from Samgakji.
All right. 2 days of peace and love.
Yes, it is. It's always really interesting, lots of great presentations, and there's multiple presentations going on at the same time, so you can generally find something that's interesting to you.
Is Abby Hoffman going to turn up wearing a t-shirt made of the American flag and use the F word? And
maybe not.
Pete Townsend is going to throw his guitar into the audience.
Sure.
I keep trying to make little
make it a little more exciting.
Woodstock references here. 2 days of peace and love. Okay.
Regardless of whether or not anyone who was or was not at Woodstock shows up, a good time will be had by all.
Because you will actually find those people here teaching English.
Yeah.
It's like, you were at Woodstock, weren't you? How can you tell?
I think by the time that this will be uploaded, the pre-registration period will be finished. But try it anyway. Usually quietly extend it for a couple of extra days.
Okay.
Because it is Korea and nobody can follow a deadline.
Last week's show is a lot late in getting up. I don't know, because I also had to prepare for Nick Smesser's listening classes, which is sort of editing the listening homework stuff. So all my sound editing time was taken up with my schoolwork versus my podcast work. So, yeah.
Well, it's hardly like it's being taken up by your teaching time.
I know.
I just have to give you a hard time as often as possible, now that I know how little you have to work.
But you said this is international, so people are going to come from all around?
Yeah, people come from all over the world to speak at the international conference.
Okay.
Lots of well-known published authors. And
okay.
There's usually at least a couple of people that are kind of like ESL rock stars, you know.
Okay. they have them?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Dave from Dave's ESL Cafe was here a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Although in a move of brilliance, the one presentation room without an internet connection was the one that he was booked in.
Oh, great. Okay.
And so he just sort of told his story instead of actually
showing you things.
Showing, yeah.
All right, wow.
But it was still interesting.
All right. And is he the only rock star? Are there any other rock
stars? Oh, no. Like Mario Rinvalukri and Dave Noonan, or say David, not actually friends with him. I don't think he goes by Dave.
All right.
David Noonan. Who else? There's always good people.
But the Dave's guy from Dave's Self Cafe, is he like... you know, you got to take the red M&Ms out of the M&Ms in his dressing rooms. Is he? Has he got any?
Well, they actually do have volunteers that like they get a VIP volunteer who just helps out the Big Ten speakers.
Okay.
They get their own little personal PA to walk around with them do stuff for them. But I don't think anybody made any sort of unreasonable demands.
Okay. No bizarre contract writers or anything. Wow. Well, one time my friend owned a bookstore, and some Canadian environmentalist science writer, very famous guy on CBC, just wrote like a new book, you know, about why we're screwing up the planet. And so he was doing a book signing. And in his contract, he had to be picked up at the airport in a limousine, and he had to have like all this fresh sushi ready for him. And I'm like,
10 kinds of out of season fruit.
Yeah, you know, like manatee. I must have manatee. You know, and I'm like, well, okay, maybe the sushi. I don't know, but you know, hey, where's that fish coming from? You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's been like 10 articles in the paper in the past week or so about how the Mediterranean fish have been completely depleted because of the new European trend of eating sushi.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, they're coming from those fish farms. Aren't those poisoning the waters? And then, dude, the limousine, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Greenhouse Gases.
I need a Hummer stretch limo.
Yeah, I know.
Or I can't possibly come to the book signing.
Great.
About the environment.
Great. Oh, so there was a tax break for Humvee owners.
A tax break?
Yeah, there's a tax break for Humvee owners in America. It was basically if you have a vehicle for your business and it's over a certain weight, then you get a really good tax break. The idea is it's like a you know...
For like delivery trucks.
Like a backhoe, you know? Like,
yeah, it's not meant for people that buy these stupid, unnecessary civilian Hummers.
Yeah. So it turned out that the Humvee qualified, because it's just basically...
It's big and heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, so people in government were like, oh, okay, that's embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a loophole, but oh well.
Yeah, there was somebody up over by our Hagwon, somebody has a civilian Hummer, which I think is just even more ridiculous in Korea, because they've got the huge import duties on foreign cars.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, $5 or $6 a gallon for gas, which
gas
I think
cheaper.
I think it, what, about $6 worth to get you back out of the gas station onto the road?
Oh, man. All right.
But he looks really cool, I'm sure, when he's trying to find three adjacent parking spaces so he can park a big, wide vehicle in Korea.
Yeah, really. Like, because, you know, because they have that little innovation where the side view mirror is actually flip in
because, like, yeah. Ticos are the biggest thing you can park in a Korean parking space.
Yeah, so then instead of make more room in parking spaces, when you get out of your car, you actually push your side view mirror in. And so people can actually walk between cars here. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you would ever park a Hummer here. Man.
No, he absolutely, the only way you can park is to find adjacent parking spaces, and that would be either if he's parking parallel or in a regular parking space.
All right. That's our show. So hopefully Rosa, she'll be back next week.
Hopefully.
Tales from the countryside.
She may have more countryside duties next weekend.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. But we'll be back. I don't think there's anything, unless I'm deported for some reason. Yeah. You never know. All right. All right, that's our show. Bye-bye. Send us email, gokorea@gmail.com, www.gokorea.info. Did I talk about the MSN won't let you paste .info URLs?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess the .info has become a real spammer domain or something. So people are just like, it's like, you know, some places will register like for a buck. So people are just kind of registering them, using them as throwaway domains. And MSN won't even let you send a .info URL. It just automatically kills it, won't let it go across their network, to cut down on the spam. So if you're out there and you're trying to give somebody the URL to the show, then you won't be able to over MSN. So you either have to send it in parts, www, enter. I'm looking if my keyboard says enter or return. I'm from the old days when typewriter electronic keyboards used to say return. But www, return, go Korea, return, and then maybe info, return. And then that might send it properly. Or else you could go to tinyurl.com, put in the URL, and then give them a tiny URL. I've had to do that a few times. If I want to send a direct link to one of my images, you know, like, look at this crazy guy with with a blow up cross. I can't send it to a friend over MSN. Yeah.
You can write the dots, and then they can just change it to dots. Like you can write DOT, and then when they paste it into their thing, into the address thing, they can just change DOT to a dot.
Or they're taken to the Department of Transport. DOT. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their mind, getting so much resistance from behind.